Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you enjoy our live stream, Brown John? If so, there's another one coming up on the 22nd of April.
If you didn't see it because you were busy or just an idiot, then you should check it out, because the reviews we got for the first one were sensational.
Find out more about it on our Twitter, and also you can get your tickets. What's our website called again?
TFTimeMachine.com.
Yeah, yeah, tickets are available there.
The links will be out there, yeah.
22nd of April, 7 p.m. Loads of great stuff. Get involved.
Here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I'm Andy Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nisty Delaney, so what?
Shitting fuck, Roy Race has been shot.
Bang!
Oh! Look!
Bang!
Look at it, Sam!
Shit!
Bang!
Fuck, I've been fucking shot, ow!
Ow!
Fucking ow! Who's done that?
Oh!
Who's got the balls to come and shoot me on my own turf? Unbelievable. This is the last fucking thing I need.
I mean, this is one of the fucking defining moments of my childhood. This incident, but more so the cover. Because the cover is in this book, obviously. 19th of December, 1981. Happy Christmas, cunts, I've been shot. It says, Roy Race, shot. And then the words shot. There's blood running down each of the letters and the exclamation mark.
They've not held back, have they?
It's bordered in black, which suggests the cunt's dead.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They haven't held back at all. All we see is the flash coming out the end of the gun towards his eye.
I've been shot in the eye.
Now, hang on. If he's been shot in the head, then
he's dead.
Surely he's brown bread. There's only one outcome here. But, you know, as we'll find out over the next few weeks, spoiler alert, he doesn't die. So there he is. He's in his blazer and his grey slacks and his blue striped tie, and he's been shot. Just to the right of him is his filing cabinet, which you can see the top drawer is A to B. Second drawer is C to D. And then underneath that is going to be E to F. But so he must have 13 drawers around this office of all of the letters of the alphabet.
I've got a very, very innovative and fail-safe filing system. I call it the Racy system. I've actually had it licensed, so no one can use it without paying me. It's a bit complicated to explain to a layman. But what I do is I do it by letter. And I order it in the same order as the alphabet. It's what I have termed alphabeticized, right? Which is a word I invented.
But it's a different alphabet. I call it the racerbet. And we do it in twos instead of individual letters. So A and B no longer exist alone. They are now A to B, and so on.
It's sensational, and it's revolutionised. It's revolutionised my logistical life, and really this whole football club.
It makes it a lot easier for filing. It means you've only got to have 13 drawers instead of 26 in your filing cabinet. It's revolutionary.
More room for other stuff in your office, whatever that might be. Perhaps a mini fridge.
One of them globes where you open it up, it's got bottles of booze in it.
Got a bottle of scotch inside. Bingo. Surprise.
It's got lots of bottles of scotch, actually. That's all. So there he is, shot in the fucking eye on Christmas week. And then underneath it says, the stars pay their tributes inside.
It's a bit, that really, what they're trying to do is they're really trying to indicate that he's been shot dead. Because who pays tributes that quickly? He's been shot. We've already got tributes. I would have waited till the following week for the Stars to pay tribute.
See if he pulls through.
Yeah. It's a risky marketing strategy because they're trying to shift extra issues at Christmas by saying he's shot. Mm. And they're saying on the cover, if we indicate he's dead by making it all black and that there's tributes. Yeah. But as a kid, I might have just thought, all right, I've looked at it in the shop and I thought, right, Roy Race is dead.
Yeah.
So
I'm not buying that.
I'm not buying that.
It'd be horrible. You'll see lots of blood and stuff.
Yeah, and also you just think, well, I won't buy that comic anymore because he's my favourite character and they've killed him off. So fuck it. I'll start buying fucking Wizard and Chips instead. Funny how no one ever launched, or maybe they did, I don't know, but certainly there's no famous rival to Roy the Rovers because it was a really successful comic, right?
Mm.
I mean, he came out of, he was previously in, I think it was Tiger. Was
it
the
was
name
a Tiger,
of
and then it was a spin-off from that,
and then
wasn't
he did a spin-off, and it was very successful, all football-related, and he was obviously the star. But, you know, I remember the Sun had, I can't remember which way it was, like the Sun had Striker, and the Mirror had Scorer, and my house was a Daily Mirror house, right? We had the Mirror every day. So I was fucking obsessed with Scorer, who came quite late after Striker, I think.
It wasn't very satisfying, though, because you'd get, like, one strip per day,
wouldn't
you?
But it was every day. I'd be like, I'd be waking up in the summer holidays, essentially, oh, fuck it, I can't wait to read what Scorer's been up to. I mean, it was pretty thin gruel for the football, for the child football fan in those days, wasn't it, without the internet and Sky. And you'd be like, I'd be waking up, often the first thing I'd think was what's going on in the life of, I think his name was Tony, it wasn't Tony Scorer, it was Tony something else.
You're on your own now.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, that what I'm saying is that these were other characters similar to Roy the Rovers, but no one ever launched a Roy the Rovers rival comic.
Well, Roy would have taken measures.
What the fuck is this?
That didn't happen, do you know what I mean?
No fucking way.
I'm going to go over there and kneecap the cunt, whoever he is.
Blackie, it's Roy. It's Roy. Activate Order 66.
Blackie, it's happened. Our worst nightmare.
Get Blackie, get the sock, I'll get the gravel, I'll meet you in the usual place. Roy, when we meet at the usual place, can we do that thing where we both communicate by flashing our headlights at each other? You know, I love that, Roy. Yeah, whatever, fine.
Oh, man. So that's the cover. That's the cover. And I mean, it remains, it still chills me to look at it now like it did when I was fucking 9 years old. Roy Race, hero, shot in the eye at Christmas. Fuck!
Bang. Yeah.
But there we go. So that's the cover, and we move inside. Obviously, you'd have tore the thing open to get to the next page to see what was going to happen next. And it says, Vic Guthrie was first on the scene. Oh, was he now? Okay. Right. The little bit in the corner of the first panel in each issue brings us up to speed, as if we needed to be brought up to speed, but I'll read it anyway. Although Melchester Rovers were riding high at the top of the second division, yada, 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 Roy was experiencing some alarming off-the-field problems. These problems are alarming!
Fucking, I tell you what, I'm fucking alarmed by all of this, and I don't say that lightly. I don't alarm easy, but this is fucking legitimately alarming stuff.
And he had made some bitter enemies. He had returned to Melchester Stadium late at night, unaware that his life was in danger, a few minutes after the echoes of the shot had crashed and vibrated into silence. That's not very good writing, is it? Crashed, vibrating.
Okay. He's writing on a hangover here, isn't he?
A gunshot doesn't crash. Well, I mean, you'd think he'd raise his game. Maybe work on a Sunday to get it done properly, but no. So there's Guthrie coming to the office, the doorway of the office. Roy, are you there? That noise, it sounded like a shot. Right. Roy!
Roy!
So comes across Roy. Roy! Comes across Roy. Roy's lying face down at this point in his office, and there seems to be some blood just above his forehead, in his hair, really. He's been shot in the hair. Which is probably the best thing that could happen because it is quite a very, very thorough...
It's big, thick hair that, to my eyes, look as if it's had a hell of a lot of fucking hairspray on it to keep it in place. Mm-hmm. It's a proper wash and set, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of hairspray on there. And that, I mean, that saved his life really, hasn't it, the hair? So the Rover's super brat, Vic Guthrie, took one look at the sprawling figure, it says, and lunged for the telephone. "I'm going to lunge for the phone. Stay there, Roy. Don't get up." And the voice on the other end goes, "Emergency, fire, police or ambulance?" And Vic thinks on his feet and says, "Police and an ambulance. And hurry, for Pete's sake. Roy Race has been shot." "That is all the information I'm prepared to give you."
"Goodbye." Bang. Yeah. Conversation over. Hangs up.
Yeah. Yeah. "That'll be here in a minute, Roy."
"It's not for me to tell you where we are. That's for you to work out. It's what I pay my taxes for. I, for one, have never agreed with the principles of the NHS in any case. Right? I think..."
"Or the police."
"I think a person's own health, as of someone's own personal security, should be their own responsibility. Right? And I don't see why I should be paying taxes to allow the government to decide how and when I am policed."
"I very much describe myself as a libertarian. And I don't see why I should pay taxes in order to fund the fire brigades and the roads and things like that.
I have thoroughly investigated legal loopholes to allow me to pay zero tax every year if I can provide evidence that I have not used any public services whatsoever. This is one of the reasons why I only travel on foot cross country, so as not to, on public land, so as not to utilise any of the roads."
999, yeah. "Police and an ambulance. My name, Vic. Vic of the family Guffrey, freeman of the land."
"If there is a fire, that is my responsibility to put it out, not the taxpayers. Right? I am perfectly capable of going and getting a bucket of water and chucking it on said fire myself without having to rely on this huge and inefficient nanny state that the Labour government in the post-war years has lumbered us with.
This sprawling mess of bureaucracy hampers us at every turn.
I choose not to live in Soviet Russia for a reason. I am a man who believes deeply in freedom, the freedom of an Englishman. Yes, it's true that I do represent Wales in international football, but that too is for various reasons to do with my own... That is largely to do with my own tax affairs. I represent Wales for tax purposes. I won't go into it now, but trust me, it's a system that works.
Anyway, as I was saying, Roy Race has been shot. TPFN.
Now get here. If the sprawling bureaucratic masses don't prevent you from getting here before you've filled in 1,000 forms first.
Anyway, they get the message, pretty much. And it says, following Guthrie's call, things happened very quickly. Fucking good. And there's a police motorbike out riding an ambulance, and there's a police car following behind it. And there's a couple of people on the street as they go by. A couple of lampards, I imagine. An ambulance with a police escort. Oh, it must be somebody important. And then it cuts to the casualty department of the hospital. And there's a doctor there. And he goes, "Roy Race, I can't believe it." And the fella dragging the trolley along says, "Gangway, mind your backs." And it's good because one sign says casualty, points this way, and then another sign says intensive care.
Both the same way.
Arrows pointing the same direction, yeah.
Either's fine. They're
around the corner from each other.
For the situation I'm in, frankly, either is fine.
And then, And then it says, stunned club officials began to arrive at Belchester General Hospital, where the Rovers' general manager, Ben Galloway, oh, here he comes, Ben Galloway, when there's a bit of fucking
drama to get himself poked his fucking snout into. Yeah. I notice he's all suited and booted, so he's probably been alerted while he's out with his fucking snout in the corporate trough, being wined and dined by, you know, local car dealers or something like that.
He's probably got a cigar in his hand that you can't see.
Yeah.
Ben Galloway was being interviewed by police, and Galloway is saying, you're treating this as an attempted murder, Inspector? What the fuck else is it going to be, Ben?
Yeah.
You know, what else? He's been shot in the hair. What else? It's not self-inflicted, obviously, because Roy Race, he wouldn't do that. He'd probably jump in front of a train. But it's not. It's attempted murder. It can't be anything else. But anyway, you know, Ben Galloway's not a detective. So he's not an expert.
Yeah.
And the detective says, "Oh, for the time being, Mr. Galloway. For the time being, fucking hell."
Well, so we might change our mind depending on how complicated it turns out to be. We might just write it off as an accident if that seems easier. Yeah. I don't know. If he dies, we've got loads more options. Because he won't be able to say anything, and we can just say he was mucking around with his own gun and shot himself in the hair.
I mean, to be honest, the idea that Roy Race would have a gun wouldn't come as a surprise to a lot of people.
There's been many reports we've had over the years after he's had a few drinks in the feathers, he starts waving a gun about or shouting threats or just telling people loudly that he owns several guns. He likes to throw his weight around a bit.
He generally rails against society, the ruling classes. He seems to have a lot of chips on his shoulder. But
He's made several quite serious threats to the UN, some in writing, some just on answer phone messages. And we have been made aware of those. And we've kept our distance, but we've kept an eye on him, let's say.
He's made a lot of threats publicly against the hierarchy of the local Freemasons who have denied him. Denied a membership on more than one occasion. So, you know, as I say, all the options are open until we know if he's going to survive or not. And then we'll take it from there. So the detective says, for the time being, Mr. Galloway, can you think of anyone who might have a motive for wanting to take a shot at Roy?
Yeah, fucking loads.
He says, a fan, officials, players, officials.
Officials. Referee. What? Like, there's a linesman who really hates him.
The referees are all enthralled to him. They're letting him referee the matches.
Whatever you say, Roy.
A fan, officials, players, and then the detective turns to Vic Guthrie, who's also there. Such as you, Mr. Guthrie. I understand there have been some pretty ugly scenes between you and Roy quite just recently. And then fucking Vic says, that's right, Inspector. Pretty much fucking dobs himself in. That's right, Inspector. That's why I went back to the stadium tonight to shoot the cunt. No, not that. I was hoping to have a final make or break talk with Roy, try and clear the air. And good grief, surely you haven't put me on your list of suspects.
It's only occurred to him halfway through what he's saying. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we don't get along, and I am a man with a violent temper, as is Roy. So you could hang about. I get what you're saying. I can be a suspect. I'm disgusted. Lucky for me, I do not recognise your authority over me. You are powerless. You are powerless. I am a free man. I do not pay taxes towards your wages, which I think is a ludicrous drain on the country's resources. And I do not recognise you or the judicial system that you work on behalf of.
If you attempt to arrest me, I think you'll find that I can free myself immediately and go about my business. Oh, God.
Remember, you police by consent in this country. And I can tell you now, you do not have my consent, not in the least, to police me.
No jail cell can cage Vic Guthrie.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
At that moment in the hospital's intensive care unit, here's Penny looking really hot, by the way. but potential, she's on the brink of widowship. I think that's probably what's doing
the
it.
The widow race. Yeah, but her hair. Yeah. This is a hairstyle I can get right behind. I mean, it's very much of its time, yeah. The early 80s, the big fringe. It's quite like, she looks a bit like the dark-haired one from Human League, you know, when she was younger.
But, or one of the Nolans.
It's a great hairstyle, and it's one, actually, I was about to say it's one that I would still support today because it's always attractive, but then I realised, worryingly, that it's basically the hairstyle my mother had at this time as well, so a little bit... Something a bit Freudian, perhaps, going
on there.
Did your
mother have a sheepskin coat as well, similar to the one
I better just
wearing.
Leave all of this to one side and cope with it in my next therapy session.
That's the end of this episode. We're going to cut it short, unfortunately. Yeah. So in the hospital's intensive care unit, and Penny's saying, "How bad is it, doctor? Will he? Is he going to?" She's kind of half thinking, well, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I would be freed from his emotional tyranny.
She's doing all the calculations. Finally, I'm allowed to live my life on my own terms. I'm going to get a huge free fucking inheritance. That's what she thinks. My money's buried fucking everywhere. She's not going to happen. She'll get fucked. There'll be a little bit just to keep the kids fed, but really basic stuff.
And the doctor says, "We can't be certain of anything at the moment, Mrs. Race." He's staring into her eyes quite romantically. I think he's, you know,
he's quite handsome, this doctor, as well.
Yeah, isn't he?
If you were this sort of a doctor in A&E, it'd be a great job for someone who was particularly attracted to widows, because you'd get the widows fresh, wouldn't you? If you were a handsome doctor,
you'd almost train for 6 years just for that opportunity.
You like, if you need
a widow magnet.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, Mrs. Race. Your husband will probably die. It's going to be painful for you, and probably most painful of all will be the loneliness you feel afterwards. We are all essentially animals with animal instincts, and and you cannot deny yourself pleasures of the flesh out of a sense of guilt for the death of your husband. What? But she's not dead yet. No, not yet. But as I say, it's highly likely.
It's just good to look at the options at this point.
You would be naive and stupid to not start planning for the future now.
Can I also say that hairstyle of yours suits you very much.
Very attractive.
Very attractive indeed, yes.
The way your big blue eyes peer coquettishly from underneath that large, dark fringe of yours.
Oh, so stop it, Sam. He says, "We can't be certain of anything at the moment, Mrs. Race. Fortunately, the bullet merely creased your husband's head. He was shot in the hair."
The hair! Yes, I'm afraid so.
Will it have to be amputated? Well, we think we can graft some of the hair from his legs and replace it on his head.
Don't worry, Mrs. Race. Hair grafting science has really moved on leaps and bounds since the 70s. There is a specialist doctor in California that we could get Roy sent over to who can work wonders with his leg and arse hair. And perhaps the hair from his balls.
But he always shaves those. He says it makes him run faster.
He has me shave them for him.
Why do you watch as much of the day?
Right. Pen, get yourself in here. He sat there, dressed only from the waist up.
Matt Nate.
All right. What's your day, son? Right, come on. Jimmy Hill's on. What's the first game? Right, get going on those. Get going on those pair of beauties. I want them as shiny as a fucking cue ball by the time we get onto the third match.
It was International Week last week, and there was no match of the day, so they're a bit bristlier than they normally are.
They've been
you
dead
itchy. You know what you're doing, though, love.
Dead itchy all week.
Where are we? Yeah, he says, the bullet merely creased your husband's head, but now he's in deep shock. I'm shocked. I was alarmed and now I'm shocked.
I thought being alarmed were bad, but that were nothing. Now I'm shocked and that fucking's next level.
He's now in deep shock, a kind of coma, if you like. So it's like a coma, but it's not. Is deep shock a medical term I've never heard?
It's like
I've heard
a coma. It's a shock coma. It's sort of like, you call it a shoma. In many ways, it's worse.
It's like a coma, yeah. Comas are for the weak. If you're a strong man like me, you just get deep shock.
This is what they get.
You just have a bit of a kip.
It's mainly something that only SAS lads get.
He's in a kind of coma, if you like, and he says, and we're not sure what is causing it. Most of the human brain is still a mystery to us.
Oh, well, that's fucking great. Thanks a lot.
Most of the human brain is still a mystery
to us.
To
be honest, there's bits we understand, but very few. You imagine him smoking a fag while he's saying that. To be honest, love, most of it's a fucking mystery. You might as well be reading
really.
Dutch.
It's quite spongy, and it looks a little bit like one of them hairless cats you get, you know, but when they're frightened.
I tell you what,
they crunch themselves up.
It's a bit like a cauliflower, right? You know what I mean? And like, you know,
the
when
the doctor's voice has changed from you know, knowledgeable to winging it.
To be honest, I'm not gonna fuck with you anymore, right? We haven't got the fucking foggiest what is going on in his nut. To be honest, we're not even sure whether he's alive or dead.
The facts are these, right? One, he's been shot in the air. We know that. Two, he's asleep. Why? We've got no idea.
Maybe he's tired. Could be as simple as that.
From being shot.
It's exhausted experience. So on the one hand, yeah, he might just be having a kip. On the other hand, he could be in a shock coma. We just don't know.
Yeah. We've bandaged it all up. You know, we'll give it 24 hours, see if he wakes up, and hope for the best, you know.
Bandaging him, that's really funny as well. That's quite a 70s sort of type of healthcare, isn't it? You come in the 70s, and like, whatever, the first thing they do, no matter what's happened, is they go, right, nurse, bandage it up. That's the first thing we got to do. Contain it in some bandages.
Yeah, stop him from bleeding. But most of the human brain is still a mystery to us. And then he says, Roy could recover at any moment. Or he could remain in that comatose state for days, perhaps weeks. He might wake up in a minute. He might be asleep for weeks. I'm not sure.
Fuck you now. I mean, with that sort of advice, you're glad that the doctor is free, because if you were paying him and he was telling you shit like that, he'd be livid.
Oh, God. And then Penny just overlooks Roy and just says, the doctor says, all we can do is wait and hope. They've got no idea. They've got no method of treating this. They don't know what it is. It's the brain. It's a mystery. And Penny just says, you'll make it, Racy. You've got to. Quietly thinking that he doesn't have to, really.
But if you don't, I'm going to sell your helicopter and buy myself a mink coat to wear to your funeral.
And then we move on. As the news spread, they began to gather silently at Melchester Stadium. Mm-hmm. Men, women and children. People who had never watched a football match in their lives. Okay, now. All waiting for news of Roy. And there they all are, crowd. And you can tell, because there's some women there with like headscarves on and hats. They're the ones who've never watched a football match in their lives, because they're not wearing bobble hats for Melchester or scarves. So all human life is there. football fans and old women.
The whole city. Fans of other clubs probably as well.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. There's probably crowds gathering outside every football stadium in the world.
Yeah.
Waiting for news. This is inside the famous stadium, the club chairman Sam Barlow is seen even less often than fucking Ben Galloway. Oh, yeah. Addressed an emergency meeting of the players. So all the players have turned up. There's two or three that I've never seen before. Right.
But, listen up, cunts.
I think we might be fucked. I think we might have to shut this whole thing down. I don't know.
Racy's pretty much dead. I've written him off, right? Which means there's hardly any point carrying on this fucking shit show any longer.
If he's not dead, he's not going to play again this season. So,
let alone fucking manage. He was shot in the air.
Can you imagine that? I'm just going to liquidate the club, shut it down. We'll take the 12-point penalty and
We'll sell off the assets double quick. And I've got a bit of land in Portugal I'm thinking of buying myself.
I've already had Roy's filing cabinets removed. They're in a safe location. So he's addressing the players and he says, "So we've decided to appoint Blackie Gray as caretaker player manager." That's a very long word, isn't it? Until Roy is fit again. And then, a bit of democracy, he says, "If anyone disagrees with our choice..." It's like he's given them all...
Yeah.
You know,
you can
all
fuck off.
Yeah. But, is that Jimmy Slade? It might be. He says, "Suit us, Mr. Barlow. Has our next game against Wolverton been postponed? So I fancy going away for the weekend till all this blows over."
It's really, it's getting a little bit annoying.
It's been quite a second division. It's like Saturday, Wednesday. I'm a bit knackered. But it says by the following Saturday, everyone knew the answer to that question. Tens of thousands turned up for the Rovers' final match before the Christmas break. What Christmas break? There's no Christmas break. And the fans, you know, making their way into the stadium. And one is saying, "The league offered to postpone the game, but the players wouldn't have it." And his mate says, "Neither would Penny Race. She knew that Roy would want the Rovers to fight on with or without him." And that's indeed what's going to happen. And 10 minutes before kick-off, Blackie Gray has took the players out to the tunnel and he's showing them the crowd. This is his motivational technique as they're about to go on the pitch. And he's saying, "Lie still in a coma, lads," in case they weren't sure. Mm-hmm. "I know we don't like to get our hands on whoever puts them there, but let's try and forget our grief and anger for the next 90 minutes. Let's treat this game like any other and win it for Racy." And they all storm out onto the pitch. Blackie's got his fucking fist in the air and the Lampards all shout, "Hooray!" The Rovers take to the pitch.
I love it that Blackie goes, "I know we'd all like to get our hands on whoever puts him there, and we would fucking tear him from limb. I tell you what, it would be slow and painful because death would be too good for him. That's the coward's way out. If we got him, the lot of us, it'd be 11-1 and we would fucking make him suffer. I mean, I'm talking car batteries on the bollocks, right? A wrench up his fucking bum hole, everything.
And trust me, we will do it. It might not be today. It might not be next week. It might even be in 1989 or in the year 2010 when we're all living in pods and we've all got jetpacks and we all eat space dust for
listen,
food.
Listen,
but we'll still fucking do it.
We all, you know, it's 1981, right? And in the summer, we all went to see that new Star Wars film, Empire Strikes Back, right? And you remember that bit, right, with the black lad, Lando Calrissian, right? And he had a fucking sensational rig up in the clouds, didn't he? And at least he said, he lent to me then and he said, "Blackie, by 2010, we'll all be living like that Lando Calrissian lad there, right? Mark my fucking words." And he's right, we will be. And maybe then we'll track down his would-be killer.
and we'll all be surviving on special tablets that keep us young, and we'll all still be playing together in the same team, top of the league.
Let me say now, when we've got hold of this lad, the one who's tried to do in Roy, right, I want all of you, all 11 first team players, plus the subs, to all do something grotesquely violent towards this man. And I'll be watching all of yous. And if any of you bottle out and don't want to do it, then you're going to get some too. Yeah?
Anyway, let's go out there and get the win. Come on.
Because as far as I'm concerned, you're either with me or against me. I'm looking at you, Noel Baxter. Funny man. Right? I've seen you bottle out before in situations like that. Right? If I tell you to electrocute someone's bollocks, you do it. And if you don't, you're going to get your bollocks electrocuted. How do you like that?
So there we are. And that's the end of that one. Roy Race shot in the hair. Thanks for listening. TTFN dickheads.
Until next time, just rest. Thank you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.